Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
All right. Well, this is one of these things with Trump and the campaign stuff that people don't really understand. And the media counts on that, I think. Some of the rhetoric was just over the top.
Oh, yeah.
Over the weekend. Trump is, like many powerful people, has abused his power and defrauded the American people with Keith's 2 felony campaign violations. That sounds terrible. What did he do? I used his own money to pay off Stormy Daniels. Wait, what? Yeah, well, see, they leave out all the details. James Wood nails this on Twitter over the weekend. In a marked contrast, when it was discovered that a Barack Obama's 2008 presidential campaign was guilty of violations involving nearly $2 million, an amount that dwarfs the $280,000 in Cohen's case, the Obama Justice Department decided not to prosecute. Yeah, they let him pay a fine. I mean, and folks don't realize when they're screaming and yelling, you know, 2 felonies, reporting violations, terrible that the president did this to become president, he defrauded the people. What are they talking about again? It's the Stormy Daniels payment with his own money. Wait, it was his own money? Yeah, it was his own money. But he didn't report it. We didn't have to if it wasn't a campaign donation. This is so ridiculous. Okay, do you realize that the payment to Stormy Daniels, the $280,000, for whatever reason they made it, is totally legal? There's no problem with it. Anybody can do. You can pay off somebody the tune of whatever you want to pay them off to be quiet. Private companies do this all the time. Private individuals do this all the time. It's very common what Trump did. So what they had to do here was they had to twist themselves into pretzels to make this work. And they're counting on indicting the president on something that nobody has ever been convicted of before. Here, most campaign finance violations are they're handled with fines. They're not handled with jail time unless you're Dinesh D'Souza and you embarrass Obama, in which case you go to prison. But anyway, until the president pardons you. But anyway, so what happened here is Trump would have been totally within his rights to write the check to Stormy Daniels. Okay, but because Cohen did it, his attorney, they're trying to use the theory. There's a law against getting a third party to make an illegal campaign contribution. So the theory is that Trump got Cohen to make the illegal campaign contribution. But they got a really, really big problem. And the problem is you have to guess the president's intent. Because if Trump were to pay off Stormy Daniels because finding out about her might make Melania mad, might embarrass him before his children, might hurt the Trump brand, or he just wanted her to go away because she was getting on his nerves, and he didn't even really do it. He could pay her off for all those reasons and then some. So what they need is they need a chump. They need somebody to say, oh, no, I know that the president wrote this check, you know, wanted me to write this check specifically so as to benefit the campaign and not because Melania would care. They need somebody to say that. So that chump is Cohen. And so what they're doing here is saying, well, you could do, 20 years on tax evasion like Hillary and Bill committed, but nobody cares. Look, you can cooperate with us here and you could just let us know that Trump, what he was thinking, what his mentality was when he, you know, when you guys did this and help us get a conviction against him or you go to prison for 20 years. That's what's going on here. That is the story. So this is why Cohen is all over the place, including on the dates of the Russia deal. And it is just it's maddening to watch. Again, keep in mind this whole idea that you know the payoff with the campaign cash. John Edwards did it with campaign cash, not his own money.
And the Federal Elections Commission said it was not a violation.
Right, right. But see, here's the thing: they don't care. They need talking points so as to impeach him.
Yeah.
And so they have to be able to say, and they're doing it now. Oh, this is an indictable offense, even though the president can't be indicted because he's the president at this time. Theoretically, they may still try it because laws don't seem to mean much to these people. And precedent rules, it's just they've all been thrown out the window. But so the theory is Mueller goes, ha, indictable offense. And the Democrats go, oh, indictable offense, impeachment time.
And then the media continues to talk about it.
Yes, exactly.
And advances the story.
Yep. And that's how it goes. And I bet you the average American has no idea. And the thought process is just, well, if they're screaming a lot, you know, where there's smoke, there must be fire.
Yeah.
And that's where we end up with this. So this is a big mess. And once you get, is this what scares me, Lee? Once you get into territory politically where people can't understand the issue, because it's so complicated. And the media has then the power to give selective facts and really hot, zinging sound bites. Oh, he defrauded the people. How did he defraud the people? He made a $280,000 payment in his own money to Stormy Daniels. Whilst defrauding the people, the rich and powerful, they think they can get away with it.
But, Tara, there was that whole Russian collusion thing.
Yeah, sure. By the way, there's still no Russian collusion.
No.
Just for the record.
No.
There is, there's nothing. But so they're screaming impeachment and all of that. I got to tell you, he had better release those documents. I'm getting to the point where I'm about over it. Because, I mean, we had Congress once again over the weekend begging him, please. Now they've got an email chain with Comey. We know Comey in it. The Intel committees do, but it's still classified. And supposedly other DOJ and FBI officials in it. And they're all admitting, oh, we knew that. The dossier, we knew it wasn't real. We know it's not real. We know there's questions about it. But we told the FISA court under penalty of perjury it was real. But, you know, whatever. Perjury doesn't apply to us. And they're all on the email admitting they knew that before the FISA application in which they swore under penalty of perjury that it was all true. So, I mean, that's out there. So, I mean, now they're begging Trump, please release that.
Where's Perry Mason when you need him?
Yeah, isn't it amazing this stuff doesn't leak?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
That these Republican and Democrats, they just don't manage to leak this, but everything else leaks.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And so, I mean, I don't understand why Trump won't save himself. I'll tell you this. You know, once they, you know, get the indictments, filed, once they make the move on him, it's going to be too late. He's got to do this now, I think. He's got to begin to do something. I mean, give us something. Give us at least declassify that series of emails. Something. Give us something. Anything. Because as long as he continues to cover for them, for whatever reason he's doing it, I mean, I just think once they come out with whatever it is that they're going to accuse him of, the big thing, I think it's too late. Then it looks like sour grapes.
Yeah, that's where we are. I mean, it's the only thing that leaks is what certain people want to leak. It's like those clumping cat litter in those bags with the holes in the bottom, you know.
Yeah.
All the nasty cat litter will still drop out the bottom, but you got those big old clumps of you-know-what still sitting in there.
Yeah, exactly. Texter writes, you won't read this, but Trump used money to... That's the fastest way to get me to read something.
That's why they do that.
Yeah, my eyes go right to it. You won't read this, but Trump used money to silence someone regarding sex? Question mark. Hell, Congress has a slush fund specifically for
that's
that.
That's very true.
Yeah, $17 million.
And they have not said anything about it, and they will not comment. And nothing is leaked.
Texter writes, why doesn't Tim Scott make it official and put a D after his name? I don't know. You know what? There has been some speculation, we don't know this yet, that Tim Scott is going to replace Jeff Flake. As the person who's against all Trump appointees.
I'm not willing to go that route yet. Listen, I've said for a long time that Mr. Scott's experience as a black man growing up in South Carolina obviously are different from mine as a white man growing up in South Carolina. Although I still think that Tim Scott leans toward the Republican and conservative side. The specific issue of this judge that he had an exception to was because of the association with a prior senator from North Carolina who did
Senator
have
Helms.
Senator Helms, who a lot of folks have a lot of animosity over for many reasons. And that his connection with Senator Helms and his campaign was the reason for Senator Scott. I'm not going to throw the senator under the bus on this one. I think that I can understand why he has an issue with it. I'll put it that way.
I really can't when you look at the facts because he reversed himself on it. The guy in question, the judge, advised the Helms campaign not to send out an email.
I know.
That targeted black people. And by the way, didn't target them in a negative way at all.
But see, this is still guilt by association in this country, and this is getting even deeper.
So, okay. I just don't follow it. I just hope he doesn't go the route and become the next Flake. The Democrats
agree.
Need somebody to do that, and I hope that our senator isn't the one they've chosen.
I agree there.
That's all I'm going to say. Did you hear about this? I swear everything ends up on the internet. A fed-up mom-to-be KO'd her baby shower, canceled it completely, because she said her fake, starts with a family, ridiculed the name she'd chosen for her child. She was outraged by this. She's cutting off her family, and she's not changing the baby's name. The family had questioned her decision to name her son Squire Sebastian Senator. Squire Sebastian Senator. Y'all have been talking, starts with S blank, about my unborn baby, an unborn child, she wrote. How can you judge an unborn child? What is wrong with you? Actually, we're judging the name she'd picked. I never knew my family could be so judgmental, she wrote. They've spread rumors and lies about my child. No, I am not crazy. No, I am not mentally unstable. That's debatable. Now I am not. No, I was not drunk when I named my child. But she assured her relatives that no matter how they felt about it, she wasn't going to budge on her son's name. Poor kid. Listen to this. Listen to what he's going to be saddled with. This is the name I meant to give him, she wrote. This is how it will be. He will not be allowed to have a nickname. He is to be called by his full and complete first name, which again is Squire Sebastian Senator. Can you imagine? Kindergarten. Yo, Squire Sebastian Senator. Yeah, you, bud. Come on over here. This name conveys power, the mom wrote. It conveys wealth. It conveys success, she added, explaining that she'd chosen the moniker because it hinted at the family's ties to senators and squires. My baby's name will be a revolution, she continued. Oh, this kid, this poor kid. It will push people to question everything. Oh, I believe that. Everything about her, anyway. She ends with blank you all. Fake blank family, she wrote. You won't get to be a part of my baby's life, and it's all because you had to judge him. Anyway, the post was published on Reddit on Saturday. It was originally on Facebook, where users continue to mock the baby's name. It's now made national news. She's just not winning this one, is she? She's not. 800-347-1063, text line 71307. Texter writes, if nothing illegal was done, why does everybody keep lying? Trump said he didn't know anything about the payment until Cohen released the tape. They just all keep lying. Why, if no one did anything wrong? Bet you don't read this. Well, no, Cohen has changed his story on the payoff. Yeah. No, they need to tie him to this. They need Cohen to tell them that this payoff was political. That's what they need him to do. And so that's why they're going after Cohen, to get him to say this. The odds that Trump is ever actually convicted of this are tiny. But they need the Democrats to be able to pretend like this is an indictable offense. And that's why they're doing all of this. 800-347-1063, text line 71307. Okay. Speaking of all this stuff, let's get the real story straight from the president's mouth with an episode of Trump Tweets.
And now, another day of totally tantalizing Trump tweets.
Talk is cheap and tweets are cheaper.
On the Tara Show.
America cannot afford a Twitter presidency.
Oh, shut up!
1063 WORD.
I'm really not a bad person, by the way.
Trump tweet. A day ago, on 245 occasions, former FBI Director James Comey told House investigators he didn't know, didn't recall, or couldn't remember things when asked. Opened investigation on four Americans, not two. Didn't know who signed off and didn't know Christopher Steele. All lies, exclamation point. Trump tweet. Leakin' James Comey must have set a record for who lied the most to Congress in one day. His Friday testimony was so untruthful, exclamation point. This whole deal is a rigged fraud headed up by dishonest people who would do anything so that I could not become president. They are now exposed. Trump tweet. 16 hours ago, the Trump administration has accomplished more than any other U.S. administration in its first 2 years, not even years of existence, and we are having a great time doing it. All this despite the fake news media, which has gone totally out of its mind, truly the enemy of the people. Trump tweet, I am in the process of interviewing some really great people for the position of White House Chief of Staff. Fake news has been saying with certainty it was Nick Ayers, a spectacular person who will always be with our MAGA agenda. I will be making a decision soon. By the way, did you see the coverage of this? Kelly's leaving as Chief of Staff. And this was spun all weekend long till it gave me a headache. Chaos. Chaos reigns. Kelly can't take it anymore. He's running away. He's leaving. He can't handle it. Out of control. Trump administration falls flat on his... I mean, it's crazy. They didn't have anything other than that Kelly was leaving. Do you realize that Kelly did the average... You know the average chief of staff for a president lasts 12 to 18 months? Obama had five. And so, you know, when folks would leave the Obama administration, it was just presumed they were, you know, they're burnt out. It's time to move on. It wasn't presumed it was because of the chaos or the crime. And so Kelly is right at that, you know, is right there, right in that average, 12 to 18 months. They don't tell you that because context would, of course, ruin a good story. Trump tweets, this collusion illusion. There is no smoking gun here. At this late date, after all that we have gone through, after millions have been spent, we have no Russian collusion. There is nothing impeachable here. At Geraldo Rivera, time for the witch hunt to end. Trump tweet, very sad day and night in Paris. Maybe it's time to end the ridiculous and extremely expensive Paris Agreement and return money back to the people in the form of lower taxes? The U.S. was way ahead of the curve on that and the only major country where emissions went down last year. Trump tweet, watched Donang Dick Blumenthal, he's a senator, on television, spewing facts almost as accurate as his bravery in Vietnam, which he never saw. He claimed he was a Vietnam vet. He wasn't. All as the bullets whizzed by Donang Dick's head, as he was saving soldiers left and right, he then woke up from his dream screaming that he lied. Next time I go to Vietnam, I will ask, quote, the Dick, unquote, to travel with me. I'm sorry, I'm losing it. Trump tweet, it was my honor to attend today's Army-Navy game in Philadelphia. Great game played all around by our heroes. Congratulations, Army football on the win. Yep. So Trump tweets for the weekend. Trump tweet, the idea of a European military didn't work out well in World War I or II, but the U.S. was there for you and always will be. All we ask is that you pay your fair share of NATO. Germany is paying 1%, while the U.S. pays 4.3% of a much larger GDP to protect Europe. Period. Fairness! Exclamation point. Trump tweet, after 2 years and millions of pages of documents and a cost of over $30 million, no collusion. Good point there. And finally, Trump tweet, it is being reported that Leak and James Comey was told by the Department of Justice attorneys not to answer the most important questions, total bias and corruption at the highest level of previous administration, force him to answer the questions under oath. Yeah, but then we might get to the bottom of this. That's not ever going to happen from Congress. Trump tweet, hopefully Mitch McConnell, he's the head of the Senate, he's a Republican, hopefully Mitch McConnell will ask for a vote on criminal justice reform. It is extremely popular and has strong bipartisan support. It will also help a lot of people, save taxpayer dollars, and keep our community safe. Go for it, Mitch! Exclamation point. And finally, Trump tweet, I don't know how I feel about this. Anybody associated with the Bushes, bad news. It doesn't ever end well. But anyway, I am pleased to announce, Trump tweets, that I will be nominating the Honorable William P. Barr for the position of Attorney General of the United States. As the former AG for George H.W. Bush and one of the most highly respected lawyers and legal minds in the country, he will be a great addition to our team. I look forward to having him join our very successful administration. So there you go. That's Trump tweets for today. Coming up, the media has already decided to have a recession. They're sending out invites to the recession party. It is now fact that we will have a recession, but it's not a fact everybody is buying into yet. What do you hear who's not buying into it? What she predicts for the U.S. economy in the next year. Next. Yet, Lee, this is looking more and more like a massacre for the pro-gun control folks at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yeah,
they got some bad economic news a few weeks ago. Well, now it's getting worse. Sales down 4%. CEO admitted a couple of weeks ago, actually, we said that the gun thing didn't hurt us, but actually it did. Admitted that after the Parkland shooting.
Well, if they hadn't been making money selling them, why would they have been selling them to begin with? And then they decided not to sell them.
Right. And they say vendors have stopped using them. There's been some people who've stopped shopping them. They're now announcing they will close 35 stores if stuff doesn't turn around during the holiday season.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in the market for a weapon, then you're also in the market for ammo and sights and ammo cans and camouflage and targets and all the other stuff that goes along with it.
Yep. Apparently, same store sales have dropped 4%. And that Dick's decisions on firearms have hurt sales of its hunting and outdoor business, you think?
Sounds like they shot themselves in the foot, doesn't
it? Yes, they did. And that it may have to close its outdoor-focused Field and Stream stores. They totally did not see this coming, did they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just wait till PETA starts complaining about the hooks you use to fish with.
So. I know. See? And then you're going to be done for. You're going to have to make, you know, those nice rounds, safety hooks that don't hurt the fish. Wait, they don't have those. So they say they've had vendors who've decided, based on their decision not to sell assault-style rifles. See, if you just call it an assault-style rifle, that's enough for people to quit you. That was used in the Parkland shooting. They wouldn't sell us, so any firearms anymore. We've had some other people who've indicated they wouldn't shop with us any longer. And they say they'll assess this through the holiday season. If the brands are going, the Dick's Field and Stream store brands, there's 35 of those in 18 states.
Or soon there used to be.
Or there used to be. So we'll see how that works out.
Well, good luck.
Yeah, over the Christmas break. All right. Meantime, I am getting darn sick and tired of the media just repeating that we're having a recession. We're going to have it. It's not here now, but it's coming. We're going to have it. And the only signs of this, Lee, were the bond yield inverting. Which, you know, it, basically with 5-year and 2-year treasuries, normally the bond yield on the 5 years, the longer term versus the, you know, the shorter term bonds. Well, normally one is higher and one is lower. That inverted. OK, that can mean a recession. It can. In times in history, it has. But in other times, it hasn't. And the average time the recession hits after the bond yield inverts is 26 months. So when they're talking about, bond yields, you can see it's terrible, it's going to be bad, we're going to have a recession, and 26 months from now, on average, that's the only indicator they got. But the media has taken that talking point, and they are now repeating over and over and over and over, as if fact, that we are going to have a recession, it will happen any day. Okay, so Face the Nation, CBS, tries this with the head of the International Monetary Fund, Christine Lagarde. And they're asking, so, you know, we're definitely going to have a recession, right? Yep, we're going to do that. And she's like, what? No?
You are seeing in the marketplace right now some concern that the engines of growth here in the U.S. have been chugging along, but the markets showed some real worry this week. What do you forecast here? Are we headed towards the recession that some fear?
Not in the short term. This is not what we see. We have a forecast for this year and next, which is around 3.7%. It's not bad, actually. And we don't see signs of recession in the near term based on the information we have at the moment.
So, I mean, that this is the meme now. I mean, it is accepted, universally accepted fact that we will have a recession. When she says we're forecasting 3.7%, that's 3.7% growth in the U.S. economy for the next year. That's awesome.
Not too shabby at all.
So she corrects her there. And they are the media is so set in this sort of, universal law now that we're going to have a recession, that there's no other input. There's no other point of view that possibly can be considered. This woman is the head of the International Monetary Fund.
Yeah, which is not a good thing. But anyway.
No, it's not a good thing. And we generally disagree with their policies. But they also track financial trends.
Yeah.
So for her to say, recession? No, we're not seeing any signs of that. Y'all probably doing 3.7% growth next year. That should have been huge headlines.
Mm-hmm.
Was it? Doesn't fit the narrative. And when you look at 3.7% GDP growth, if we did that, okay, 3.7% GDP growth on an economy of $22 trillion is $700 billion in growth a year. That's what they're forecasting. President Trump is growing the U.S. economy at a rate of $700 billion a year per their forecast. That's insane. Okay. Keep that $700 billion figure in mind, okay? The economy of the United States, GDP, is roughly $19 trillion. It's the whole economy, right? That's from last year. China, $12 trillion. Japan is $4.8 trillion. Germany, $3.6 trillion. United Kingdom, $2.6 trillion. I mean, we would be growing at $700 billion a year? Heck, the UK economy is $2.6 trillion.
Yeah.
I mean, so When you look at the U.S. economy and the Chinese economy and how massive they are, just to grow it at $700 billion a year.
Yeah, our growth
is almost insane.
A third of what the U.K.
entire
economy would
be
worth.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And this is what Trump is talking about. We have a tremendous amount of financial power and a lot of weight we can throw around.
Yes.
To get them to open their economies all over the world. And so Christine Legrand's like, what? Recession? No, we don't know anything about that. Look, I don't know if there's going to be a recession or not, but the bottom line is here that they're just running with this and repeating it and repeating it and repeating it, hoping to beat the economy down.
Well, it's worked with Russian collusion.
Yeah, why not, right?
Yeah.
It's just really frustrating. And if you listen to what else she says, it's very interesting because the story is, well, see, we're about to head in recession because of Trump's stupid tariffs. She says, no, I mean, that could happen, but it's not right now.
Mm-hmm. But it is true that if there are more tensions, if trade is under threats, if people sort of wonder, where should I invest? And should I completely change my supply chain? That will have an impact. It will have an impact on people because, you know, if you look at the low-income family today, thanks to trade, the cost of living are reduced by two-thirds. So, you know, the clothes that we're wearing, the many of the things that we're using are made in Vietnam, Morocco, China, wherever. If we lose the benefit of that, then it will have an impact on consumers. We're not seeing it now. It's true.
We're not seeing it now. It's true. And the reason we're not seeing it now is because the media has confused people on what these tariffs do, as you and I talk about so often. If we were just slapping tariffs on all kinds of clothes and goods and said, hey, you know, we're going to raise the price of goods and clothes and stuff coming into the country so as to force manufacturing in America, yeah, you'd see the prices skyrocket. We're not doing that. We're saying, listen, we're going to tariff your products unless you cut a trade deal with us and let our products into your market. If you do that, you can send all the cheap stuff here you want. Make it, send it. We'll compete with you in our own markets. And that's why you're not seeing that, as she points out, because that's not what Trump's doing. It's maddening. Anyway. What were you going to say, Lee?
I was just going to agree with you.
Oh,
that
good.
Was it.
Yeah, that's it. It's just...
You've nailed
it. It's frustrating. It's so frustrating. And this is a globalist liberal going, what, recession? No, we don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
We don't know. Now, could we have one? Sure, I'm sure we could. If the Fed continues raising rates, we will have a recession. But that has not happened yet, and so we don't have one yet. And that's what she's saying. Remember the principal who banned candy canes because the shape is J for Jesus and the red is the blood of Christ? Yeah, the school district wound up suspending her for that decision. So it didn't work out well for her. But the sad part of this is that the left had not thought of that, and so you're going to begin to see this. It always spreads. Yeah, the school district's response, they ended up suspending Jennifer, the principal, while they investigate. And the crazy thing about that to me was not that she had banned all signs of Christmas. Even combinations of red and green. Couldn't have that. It would, because it could trigger somebody. It might remind them of Christmas. And so she banned all of this kind of stuff. You couldn't show reindeer anymore, but you could show polar bears. Because if you can't show polar bears, you can't talk about global warming. And that's not going to work. But the most outrageous part of what she did was not even banning all that stuff because Christmas might offend somebody. Or you shouldn't presume they celebrate Christmas. It was the fact that on the second list she put out of permitted stuff, holiday celebrations from other cultures permitted and encouraged. So what she was saying was, if it's Christian... If it's Christmas, guys, shut up about it. But, I mean, if you want to have, like, you know, a celebration of whatever from other cultures, we welcome that. So this is selective. It was selective with her. American culture, bad. Everybody else's culture, good. Let's celebrate. American culture, banned. Everybody else's culture, good. Let's celebrate. Anyway, I'm glad that they suspended her. Got to be some kind of... Texter writes, where did this go? Texter writes, Tara, at this point, I wouldn't believe CNN if they told me there was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater if I watched it break into their studio and carry off both of their reporters. Yeah, I wouldn't either. Texter writes, Tara, you're the first news I heard from 3 a.m. Sunday? Oh, no cable, no internet, and Sunday radio, no news, still no power. Oh, yeah, they're rebroadcasting my show on Sundays, which is cool. Texter writes, if you want to stop people blowing red lights, red traffic lights, just install red light cameras like we have in New York. By the way, that is a number from New York. I don't know if they're here or in New York. A lot of people listen over radio.com. Texter writes, this is Nixon all over again. President Trump is now essentially an unindicted co-conspirator. Start counting Senate votes to 67. I'd say today it's at 58. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? To find out which way this is heading. Yeah, especially over the weekend. Anyway, I just want to leave you with this today. The craziest thing I've seen in a long time was James Comey's testimony on Friday. Now, I didn't actually see it because it was behind closed doors and they will release the transcript. But folks who were in there saying that James Comey flat out admitted under oath on the record that he did not verify the FISA application, the dossier before he put it in the FISA application. Signed his name three times that it had been verified on the FISA application. And you know what's so maddening is to watch Bob Goodlatte, another Republican, say, well, Comey may have misled the court. No, he broke the law. The federal statutes are clear. I mean, they couldn't be clearer. It says under penalty of perjury. Right there on the FISA application. They have verified it. He didn't know if it was true and he didn't care. So he's literally, he's so casual about the law breaking. Just, I don't know. I didn't know. I never did know. I left the FBI and I still didn't know if the dossier was true. So sue me. And yet, at the same time, we're watching Michael Cohen indicted and forced to plead guilty, or they'll hit him with other charges, to perjuring himself before Congress. Comey just went before Congress and admitted he perjured himself before the FISA court. Perjury. Carries 5-year max prison sentence. It's a felony. Nobody cares. And the Republicans are tiptoeing around this, too. They're like, well, you know, he may have misled the FISA. No, he lied. That's perjury. It's a crime. And they don't seem to have any trouble saying it when they're talking about Michael Cohen and what he pled guilty to. Wow, it's a crime. Yeah, it's a crime when the Democrats do it, too. Well, no, he misled. Misled is like when the newspaper salesman comes to your door and makes you think you're going to pay $25 a year, but it's actually $25 a quarter. That's misled. He didn't specifically lie to you. He just wasn't real specific. No, Comey lied. Comey flat out lied. And just admitted it. Just admits it. Nobody cares. Literally nobody cares. And that doesn't even count the other crimes that Comey committed, along with the DOJ and the FBI, when he filed the FISA application. Again, you must, by federal law, tell the courts. You have to tell them if you have exculpatory evidence. You have to tell them all the details that you have. If there's something that makes it look like the target is innocent, you must include it. And they included a Yahoo article that was planted by Christopher Steele, who was working for them, and said it was a second source. It wasn't. They knew it was only one source, same source, dossier and Yahoo article, both Christopher Steele. So, I mean, that's two felonies right there. Nobody cares. It's like, wow, whatever. Yawn. Roll over. Go back to sleep.